Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Herbie, let's go.
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play. Yeah, yeah.
Football insider for 670 The Score.
We do what we do. We drive all game.
And Fox 32.
Majority of folks in my life do pronounce it Herron. Even like my pops, who he should know how our last name is pronounced.
And the Pac-12.
How many jobs you got?
One.
One job.
And Big Ten Sirius XM.
Whole lot of Herron out there.
Anthony Herron talking ball with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
If you were on the phone, I'd tell you that Anthony Herron was joining me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. He is here in person in the studio. He's one of our football experts and does a great job. He's Anthony Herron, or as we like to say, Herron. Hello, sir.
Lo-ho. What's happening, man?
Nothing much, man. Thanks for the coming over and finally getting a chance to chop it up with Panther.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was good. She lived up to the hype. No doubt.
Yeah.
She's
pretty remarkable. There's no doubt about that. You went to the Cubs convention this weekend?
I did, man. Me and Shep were there. We were there from 11 to 1. We had our Sunday sort of Cubs convention festivus. And I hadn't been to a Cubs convention before, you know, either in a work capacity or just in an observatory fashion, nothing. So I went in as sort of this blank slate. I mean, doing the Bears 100 thing last year and going to check that out, I guess I did. Because I really hadn't been to any sports fest, no Sox fest, no nothing. I'd never been to a major sports convention before. I'd been to media days for various conferences, but this was different. So it was good to go there. I went, showed up early enough. You know, Shane was nice enough. You can grab me a little coffee. I'm just strolling around with a little coffee in my hand. Had my one cup of coffee for the week, and I'm just checking things out. And a couple of folks kind of just stopped and asked me a few things. Of course, wanting to talk some Bears, but I made it a point to ask a few folks as I'm, you know, cycling through the various floors at the Sheraton. And asked a couple of folks just kind of, you know, what are you actually kind of legitimately feeling right now about the season? And, you know, I was struck by, because there was still legitimate excitement in the building. I mean, if you go there, it's because you're excited about your team. So I didn't necessarily anticipate that me just asking the folks about the team, they're just going to start booing in my face for asking about the Cubs or anything. But the excitement was very direct towards just the experience of Cubs convention more so than the upcoming team itself. And I was struck by the fact that when it comes down to it, it's all the same dudes that everybody's been excited about over the last few years. So there haven't been any transactions to enhance or to add depth or anything like that. But it's not like the lineup isn't still at present day full of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Javi Baez and Jose and Wilson Contreras. I mean, there's still all these same guys who we think are capable of great things in watching the Cubs. So I think that there's a lens that the team is being viewed through right now, which is understandable because the development that we thought of for the last couple of seasons of the Cubs didn't seem to continue to mature, and it's in a way have regressed over the last couple of seasons. But it's still a somewhat young, more experienced, a very competitive and talented roster when it comes down to it. So I think as the season approaches and as things kind of shake out, there's still going to be some things to look forward to. Do I have high hopes for the team this season? Not necessarily from a World Series perspective, but there's going to be guys to get excited about. I heard as I was getting lifted in here, not via Chopper, but via the Rideshare app, I heard you talking about the distribution of the Marquee Network, and I thought that was really interesting, kind of rolling back through some of the things that you've had folks on the show discussing. For me, in working at the Big Ten Network, working at the Pac-12 Network.
You've had to deal with this
Yes, I was there as both networks were launching and getting on the air, And just, you know, without really being able to predict what exactly will happen with Marquee, but just in seeing the reaction of both fan bases and experiencing that as BTN first got on the air, and it was a similar thing to what's happening with Marquee and Comcast right now. Now, I'm not necessarily seeing, like, when BTN and Comcast were going at it, there was ad space being bought up, blaming each other about it. Like, hey, you boo Comcast, and then Comcast had launched some boo BTN, it's their fault. And then eventually, and this is something I shared with a couple of Cubs fans yesterday, eventually it's the people, it's the consumer that moves the needle on any of these things. And so whatever level of angst you feel, you express, whether it's via social media or wherever else, that's what's going to eventually try to drive both parties towards getting something figured out. Pac-12 Network, it wasn't Comcast. It's still, at this point, what, 6 years into the life of the Pac-12 Network, still there's not a DirecTV deal that's done between the Pac-12 and DirecTV. And right now, pretty much both sides are like, you know what? We're just going to kind of put that to the side between cord cutting and everything else. But the DirecTV is a huge deal out west, especially in the L.A. market where the Pac-12 Network does not exist on DirecTV. So when USC and UCLA are playing football or basketball, and I'm calling their games on the Pac-12 Network on the football side of things, folks can't watch USC on the Pac-12 Network for the however many DirecTV subscribers are there in the L.A. market. It's a big deal. It hasn't moved the needle enough from a Pac-12 perspective, but it really only took 1 year, one kind of season, really, before folks got upset enough here in the Chicago area and in the Midwest at Comcast and at the Big Ten Conference that sort of forced them to really get something figured out.
Yeah, I keep wondering, because with the Dodger thing, it didn't. You know, there was already this stuff that was going on in L.A., and now you're 7 years in to this. And my hope is that companies are in business to make money. Mm-hmm. That's part of this.
Yeah.
But my hope is that the consumer doesn't get completely squeezed out. That's why what I wish Marquee would have done, and there's still time to do this. I wish that they would have learned from Yes Network, where Yes Network put games on WPIX on Sundays. Mm. And to me, that's a way that you can accomplish a couple of things if you did that. Not WPIX, that would be stupid. You put them on WGN.
Uh-huh.
You would then have 22 weeks or so of commercial, because the Cubs are going to end up on Sunday Night Baseball a lot too, of commercials for your new network for people who might not even have cable. They might not.
Right.
There's, and I had this epiphany this past weekend where I invited people over. Mm-hmm. I obviously have the two different TVs that are all hooked up and ready to go.
Yeah.
But there was another room that we wanted to put a TV in that didn't have a cable access box. So I got rabbit ears because the games were going to be on CBS and Fox.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there going, you know what? One can have a fine sports viewing life.
A lot of options.
And I can watch reruns of Wonder Woman and all sorts of stuff with all the different little digital channels that are on the rabbit ears. And I kept thinking about all of those fans who are maybe not as financially set that have been used to getting games for free on television. The Cubs have every right to make money off of their product.
Right.
I'm a proponent of it. I'm a proponent of what they did with the rooftops. I'm a proponent of this. But I do feel something tugging at me for the lower income fan.
Yes.
That
yes.
While $100 a year or whatever the number is going to be, for me to access Marquee is not that big a deal. That $100 for someone else is a big deal. The $9 a month or whatever the number ends up being, like, that's a big deal. And what ends up happening, whether it was in the case of BTN or Pac-12 Network, or what's going on with Time Warner and the Dodgers, and now what's going on with NBC Sports Chicago and Dish and Marquee and Comcast, is that there is a lot of heavy lifting that the consumer is being asked to do. Okay, fine. It's not on your subscriber. Well, great. You know how you can get it on? You know how you can get our product on your subscriber? By calling them and telling them that you're going to change. And then when they don't immediately move over, if Dish doesn't immediately move over or Comcast doesn't immediately move over, then you have a choice to make. And then you have to decide, oh, well, I'm going to leave Comcast and I'm going to get Dish. Or I'm going to leave Dish and now I'm going to get Comcast so I can get everything I need. And anyone who's ever dealt with any one of these companies knows that it's not just like, and everything's fine. Yeah. There's a lot of legwork that ends up having to go into this stuff, and it's difficult. Like, I don't want to overlook, while in theory it's easy, I'll move from this to this. It's a really difficult process.
Viewing habits are set for certain segments of the populace. And, you know, I'm a Hawkeye, folks out there. Now, I went to University of Iowa. I didn't even realize when I showed up in Iowa City, getting ready to play football there, how much of the campus was going to be from Chicago and the surrounding suburbs, just the Chicagoland area in general. And so in melding the Chicago interests with just friends I was making around campus, I can't tell you how many people at the time I was there and just over the years since then, I heard talk about growing up Cubs fans, because I was surprised by just the amount of Cubs fans that were in and around the campus in Iowa City, and how many of those folks grew up listening to Harry Caray, watching WGN, and getting to consume the Cubs in such a wide sort of, you know, service area because of the WGN deal. And you saw a little bit of that when WGN, when, you know, the last Cubs broadcast took place, and some of the emotion that folks felt about that. And that's what makes this different, what will end up making this a bit, you know, probably, you know, either more frustrating initially, more difficult to transition out of for some folks as it's happening. It's a more educated populace about how you go about finding things in the digital space,
right,
or streaming things online. But there's still a lot of folks out there who don't really specialize in that for their viewing pleasure. There's a younger segment of the population that's already accustomed to it.
But that's not baseball's customer.
No, exactly. That's not the demographic.
That's a huge problem. And luckily, baseball has kind of relaxed some of their draconian streaming stuff. Mm. It used to be you get blacked out. Like, there were people in Iowa that would sometimes get blacked out,
man,
of Cubs games.
In farm country who had graduating classes of four, who watched the Cubs a lot more than I did growing up, who really didn't have access to it aside from some rabbit ears on the farm they grew up on. And they were still able to watch all the Cubs games that their little hearts could handle. And so this, from growing up to that, to having as many of them as they wanted, to now having to figure out how do you consume it on this marquee network, it'll take a minute. And Mr. Ricketts might be exactly right that a year from now it won't be a big deal. It feels like it may take longer than that, but
yeah,
we'll see.
It would depend. Like, if you're talking about close to half of your viewing audience not being able to watch marquee, and Herbie, is the first game's an ESPN game, right? Aren't they playing nationally first?
I know they're playing the Brewers, but I don't know if it's ESPN.
I think their first game is on ESPN. But then after that, and once the season gets here, I don't know if they're – I feel that the urgency is within the amount of time that you have to before the season starts. And because you don't want people to then figure out, A, ways around it if you're the Cubs, or B, I don't need it. Like, those are –
yeah.
And they're already people.
And I don't need it feels like it's not likely. But then as much time as I spend in the Bay Area and as passionate as folks are about the Oakland A's really couldn't get local broadcast distribution there. So now they've like got their own app that folks consume Oakland A's content. And it's not like really a third and fourth.
So the first two games would be on marquee.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to strive for. But
they've had the advantage of seeing what other folks have not done well. So you would hope that, you know, Crane Kenny and everyone else there with the organization have said, we feel like we know what lane we need to be in and how to get this distributed properly. Kind of like with BTN. Like, the Mountain West had a conference network for years before the Big Ten network had one. They had the opportunity to kind of see that, what worked, what didn't work, and sort of set this up in the manner that they have. And it's been really successful. So if you can learn from whatever failures came from your predecessors, then that's the best way to go about it. And the Cubs have had that opportunity to do it.
The other problem that the Cubs have is the timing. The timing of their contracts ending with Comcast and NBC Sports Chicago is bad because of the on-field product.
Yeah.
Where if we were talking about them right after the World Series launching marquee. Like, it would be like, oh, well, right, of course.
Man. Be like, hey, this is a definite money grab right here.
Or even if it was 2015, going into 2016, like, of course, that kind of that momentum for this, it makes me wonder whether or not they really, how much they really will pull. No, they're going to be successful.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if it would have been easier to not have to worry about all the infrastructural stuff that they have to put in to marquee.
But then at that point, they were worried about so much of the brick and mortar just right there in Wrigleyville,
right,
and modernizing everything there to kind of make this portion of it work. So, I mean, it's been obviously a plan that's been in place. It's a really interesting case study to see how they're going to manage this. It feels like it's going to be difficult for fans. Hopefully at some point folks find it and are able to consume it in the way that they would like to. But, you know, for right now, I feel a lot of folks are frustrated by it.
And even if I tell you that, you know, MLB with Hulu has they have live sports, like, for the person who's not about to change their life, does that really help them? If I tell them, well, you know, there are all sorts of places where you can watch a stream on subreddit, and they're like, what's that? like it's...
Hey, man.
Like, all of those,
everybody doesn't do it. I'm not that old, but I'm kind of a dinosaur with those. I've never watched an MLB game unless one of my buddies has held it up to my face, which happens. Which I work with a lot of folks who do it. I've never streamed one myself. I watch plenty of baseball. I'm here throughout the weekends, all baseball season. I watch it on my television.
It's going to make for a really interesting few weeks and couple of months, and hopefully, at the end of this, every Cub fan that wants marquee gets it.
Right.
And hopefully the amount that they have to pay per month isn't so much that it hurts them financially to follow the team that they love. Like, that's what in a
well, and that's where the distributors are pushing back, right? Where
right.
Comcast and DirecTV and whoever else is like, man, okay, you guys keep kind of segmenting your content and saying, hey, charge the folks more. It's not necessarily that easy for the distributor
right.
either, who's got to jack up their prices.
100%.
You know, cart, horse, you know, which is which, chicken, egg. It's a vicious cycle.
It's a very utopian view that I have on it, but which is not going to happen. But people will get what they want. But to be clear, it's called the Interactive Media Rights. They talked about this as the owners' meetings, and the owners were all like, what we do with the blackouts is kind of stupid. Let's relax some of this stuff. So at least in that case, it's going to be a lot better. Dude, we brought you in here to talk football.
I know, man. I was really, I'm really intrigued by that part of it. So I'm sorry for hijacking.
No, it's good. It's good content.
Football topics.
How about we take a break and come back and talk about the football?
Okay, that works.
All right, Anthony Heron is here. We're going to talk football with him coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Next on the Score.
Third and eight at the 36-yard line. Garoppolo in the shotgun along the left hash. Gives to Mostert. Mostert has a hole. Mostert at the 30. Turns on the Jets up the left sideline. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. And a touchdown. He slides and swims through the back of the end zone in celebration after a 36-yard touchdown burst to give the Niners a 6-0 lead.
Yesterday, the 49ers, man, did they demolish Green Bay. And then you had Kansas City do what they did in the AFC title game. Big Ann Heron is here in studio with me. We are talking about a little football after we had a nice long discussion about carriage fees and all sorts of
distribution rights
and all that good stuff. San Francisco beats Green Bay 37-20. Their quarterback threw the ball 8 times. That offensive line was amazing to watch yesterday. In watching their run game design, I often find myself a little bit lost because I feel like it's so creative, like what they're doing. And then you watch a play and you're like, man, that's happening on the backside of a run play. How have they been able to turn this run game into something that feels like an unstoppable pass game?
It's speed via physicality. Their offensive line still imposes their will physically on the opponent. They still look to move you backwards up front. You know, different run schemes operate different ways. The Denver Broncos, for feels like generations of football fandom now, have been operating with the zone scheme that's more lateral based and have had success with it for decades now in doing a very similar run scheme regardless of the head coach. But they were one of the pioneers of zone blocking and zone run game in the NFL. San Francisco has a lot of zone elements to the way they operate, but they still do it with some brutality. And so it's not only about the lateral movements. The lateral nature of it, attacking the latitude of the defense, comes more from the backfield action than it does the line itself. The line is moving. The offensive line is moving that defensive front against their will, and the linebackers associated with it are on skates at times. Why you have a running back who may, in some plays, attack you downhill and hit a vertical crease, while at the same time they'll either show some action, some ghost motion, some jet motion going on the back end of it, or will legitimately hand it to someone else who's going in that direction. And when you think of what Raheem Mostert was doing, the speed he was getting on the second level of the defense, frequently enough untouched, but every once in a while after he'd press the hole, he'd bounce it outside, and just the speed that they run the ball with, you add that to an offensive line that is willing to attack up front and is coached to attack up front and play with physicality, then it's like watching modern day Alabama at the collegiate level or Urban Meyer's Florida teams or, you know, modern day Ohio State, if we want to go that route, where you get the zone element of it, but it's the zone is more based off of the movement, the lateral nature of the backs, the folks carrying the ball and from a ball handling perspective than it is the offensive line being lateral or being finesse. And that's what felt like here in Chicago just has been over the last couple of years a little bit off kilter, because it was a vertical charge that the offensive line was having success with under the previous regime and the previous running back, Jordan Howard. And now it's a different track that they're blocking on that they haven't quite figured out yet. San Francisco's got it down, man.
They do. How does one go about creating that? Like, that to me, like, that's kind of the fun part of Kyle Shanahan going, man, he didn't give up on the run. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to allow Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the game away. Not that Jimmy was going to, but he wasn't. He's like, we're running it. It's working. Yeah. Why in the world would we stop that? Let me ask you, as someone who has covered this league, who's played in this league, why is that such a hard concept for coaches to grasp onto? Here, we do this thing. They can't stop the thing. We keep doing it. And some coaches are just like, nope, we're going to do something else. We're going to go do this. We're going to do a little bit of this. But why would you do that when you just got 6 yards on that first run that you ran out of I formation or a double back set? Like, why is it that we see coaches move away from stuff like that?
Some coaches just can't or won't get out of their own way with things like that. We saw Andy Reid for a number of years not be able to get out of his own way consistently enough, where an uber-talented quarterback like Donovan McNabb, where he would turn McNabb into this volume passer at times, where he had Brian Westbrook in the backfield, and there wasn't a lot, especially, he only had T.O. for a couple of years. There wasn't a lot of receiving talent that Andy Reid was working with in Philadelphia, and they manufactured enough to keep making the NFC Championship game, but then at times come up short because it was just the constant drop back over and over again. So even Andy Reid, one of the great coaches of all time, has fallen victim to that pretty frequently. I honestly think he's fallen victim to that at times this season too. He's just got Pat Mahomes as his quarterback, and as much offensive skill talent as anyone could ever hope for at tight end, at multiple receiver positions all over the place, and the speed that they attack with is like very few NFL teams could hope for. That being said, how coaches move forward from this point, I think we see the example of it with the current 49ers coach who's on his way to the Super Bowl, because you think back to him as an offensive coordinator where Kyle Shanahan was in the Super Bowl, and he's up 28-3 on the dynasty and has a chance to be the OC that helps close that show on his way to getting the head coaching job with the 49ers. And I was talking to Shep about this on the air, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago, where it felt like that became a line of demarcation for Kyle Shanahan, where the way they fell apart in that Super Bowl, where his role could have been in helping to close the show if at that point he would have run the ball more frequently and not said, I got the league MVP, we're going to drop back and pass it and do what we've been doing to run up these touchdowns here throughout the season and here early in the game, and just recognizing the moment and what it called for. And the fact that he was putting his quarterback in jeopardy and his offensive line in harm's way in a manner that wasn't called for in that moment. And it seems like he said never again. That's not going to be something I allow my system to dictate how I have to coach a game, how I have to call the plays in a game. And it feels like since then he is now determined that he's going to call games more towards the personnel he actually has. And this team, built by John Lynch, old school safety, ground and pound kind of guy that he faced in the NFL for so many years, won a Super Bowl with an offense that didn't require much of the quarterback, and still believes that modern football can be about that, and the 49ers are showing that it can. As much as I love the fact that we're going to see Pat Mahomes in a Super Bowl, I was kind of in my head going to love the thought that it was going to be the Titans versus the 49ers and these two run-dominant outfits playing in the Super Bowl. And the Rams are going to be sitting home looking at it. Matt Nagy was going to be sitting home looking at it. And all these young wunderkind head coaches and all these fancy offensive systems that are trying to do all these cool things with the quarterback and the RPO. We're going to have to watch physicality in the Super Bowl on both sidelines. But they got Mahomes'd.
I meant to show you this yesterday when we were in the basement. There's a book down there that I had read at the beginning of the season in the summer. I usually start to miss football, I would say late May, early June. So I start, like, that's when I start, like, going to get books and all sorts of stuff. And there's this book I read about called Hybrids. And it's how the passing games in football everywhere, the RPO stuff on every level of football, has caused defenses to now start investing in kind of hybrid players. Mm-hmm. And what I, like, as I was watching the game yesterday, I was sitting there thinking about that book and going, this is the counterpunch to that. Like, okay, you can have your hybrid player, your player that's too small. I've still got an offensive line that's 330 pounds across. Mm-hmm. And now what we're going to do is we're going to put your hybrid defender on skates. We're going to push him backwards all day long with our run game. So now I'm wondering what then becomes the counterpunch to that, where now we're back to, well, get me a beefy offensive line filled with guys who played in the Big Ten. Let's run behind those guys. Give me an athletic, big tight end that can catch the ball but is okay with being the lead blocker on a run play. So what's the chess move to counter that?
It's all about personnel, man. It's about who can you act. And this really goes to a conversation the Bears are going to have to continue having internally about Leonard Floyd, because Leonard Floyd is – that modern outside linebacker. He is that hybrid player. He's not special as a pass rusher, though. I mean, as soon as they drafted him, I'm pretty sure I was on with you and others here talking about he wasn't a special pass rusher in college.
It's not even really the way that Georgia used him.
Nope, it wasn't. It wasn't. But he is a special athlete. He is a quality football player in the National Football League. And we've heard, whether it was Vic Fangio, Chuck Pagano, Matt Nagy in their final press conference, discuss that they get a lot out of Leonard Floyd. They don't get sack numbers out of him. And so that's going to be the calculus specifically with him in this Bears scheme. And what a lot of teams will continue to go through is a player like Clemson's Isaiah Simmons, who is this year's hybrid, the hybrid amongst hybrids, who not only can play, you know, just set the edge as your force defender on the outside and can rush the quarterback. They literally have him playing nickel in Clemson's defense at times too, and the variety of things that a guy of his size and his speed is able to accomplish and the high level he's able to do them at, by getting takeaways, man, like tracing 30 yards across the field, baiting quarterbacks into plays as a defensive back, and then also being a hellacious pass rusher off the edge. That's as modern as it's going to get for the space backer, which is, you know, kind of in football parlance, the modern outside linebacker is viewed as the space backer now, your edge defender who can do everything you would hope for from a guy at every level. It's still very rare to do it at the level it looks like Isaiah Simmons is going to be able to do it, but that's really what the counter is. It's really just evolution physically and from a not really a schematic standpoint as much as just an ability standpoint of what some of these edge defenders are capable of.
The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves that comes with a $5,000 signing bonus? Well, go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play payday. And this segment is being brought to you by the Boat Show. They don't even use that thing anymore. But I love that jingle. Head on down to the Boat Show.
The Boaty Show.
Not the Boaty Show, the Boat Show. Chicagoland RV Show. Just go there, all right? Enjoy yourself. Campland RV. Enjoy RV show pricing all month long. Stop by the dealership to visit CamplandRV.com. It's CamplandRV.com for more details. Campland RV, buying made easy. Just a short drive off I-94 in Northwest Indiana. Last thing I want to talk with you about. I was having a conversation with Dan and Connor about this during transition. Watching Patrick Mahomes in college, him doing the air raid stuff, you knew that there was athleticism. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times his athleticism showed itself off in his arm strength and his ability to throw on the run, like that sort of thing. I wouldn't call him a runner the way that I would call Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson a runner or even Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
What I'm impressed by, though, is a guy that often used his mobility as I'm moving to the left, I'm escaping the rush, I'm keeping my eyes downfield, now I'm going to throw it, I'm going to flick it 50 yards right on the nose and hit a receiver. To see him now be so willing to add a vertical aspect to his quarterbacking should be terrifying to the rest of the NFL. Because if he's doing that too, it's you have no shot. Because he's so good at the pocket stuff already. If you're now saying he's also a threat to run, what in the world are we going to do? What's the NFL going to do if that's the case?
He's basically evolving like Benjamin Button. It's like he's evolving backwards in a way where the skills that you think veteran quarterbacks have with their ability to anticipate and be strong in the pocket, to stand in there in the face of pressure and the physical duress. I mean, the word courage is not like they're necessarily their life is in jeopardy, but physical harm gets inflicted when a guy of my size and the speed of a Leonard Floyd hits you. It hurts. So there's a level of courage that it takes to stand in the pocket and be willing to still look for your receivers, stare those guys down. He doesn't have an issue with that, but he also, like you mentioned, came out of college with the ability to extend the play. And while extending the play, not only is able to be accurate to a single side of the field while on the run, but can contort his body, has the laxity in his shoulders and in his hips to be able to get it around and then also throw from so many different arm slots. And doing all those things are rare feats that most humans can't do. But then to go beyond that and now say that, you know what, while I'm out here, especially it's the playoffs, I don't know, why put it in harm's way? I'm fast enough and I see an angle here that I can exploit up the sideline. How he stayed in bounds on that touchdown run is beyond me. I mean, it's like in the moment, I tweeted it out in the moment. It's like he was Lion-O, and he had taken out the Sword of Omens and said, I can see the future. There's defenders here that look like they have an angle, and somehow I'm going to, even though I'm just kind of fast, I'm not super fast, but I'm going to outrun that angle and get to the end zone. The next series, I still may just extend it and flick it down the field or just extend the play a little bit to my right and throw it all the way down and finally take the shot play. And whatever it is in the moment and what it calls for, it seems like he just is able to see beyond what the defense shows him and just sort of put the ball on a string like a yo-yo where it needs to be, whether it's as a runner, as a passer. We're seeing rare things from this guy right now, man. It's fun to watch.
Sir, I appreciate you stopping by and doing a little overtime here.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the Cubs conversation, too. So that was good. It was really, really good stuff. That is Anthony Heron. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron, and I suggest that you do that. We need to take a break. I'm Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
Finish.
It's another one of those shows where we're like, man, we had a lot to do today. And we had so much more stuff that we kind of left on the table. But that's all right. We got plenty of shows this week to talk about the Super Bowl, to talk more about Cubs convention. I think tomorrow everyone will be back in their regular routine. Like, you'll be back to work, like that sort of stuff. I would like to have a conversation about your Cubs convention experience and get some of your thoughts out there for the world to see. Upwork has the world's largest network of independent professionals, devs, UI designers, writers, strategists, you name it. Whatever skills your scope demands, Upwork has the people that can help you out. Pros available short or long term, one time or as often as you need them, and they're proven, rated, and reviewed. Need to stay fully staffed and fully flexible, an SEO specialist for 6 weeks, or a team of designers, devs all in one place? Upwork is how. When you need in-demand talent, go to Upwork. Upwork is how. I had a fun weekend watching football. I truly enjoyed it. I thought I would make it out to Cubs convention, but I didn't. I also went and saw Bad Boys for Life and had a weird experience. The movie cut out with 13 minutes left in it, and I haven't seen the end of it. Up until then, though, better than the first one. Martin Lawrence actually acts in this movie. It's pretty good. It is. I was going to see it regardless because I love those two dudes. I was actually like, man, this movie is all right. Now I just got to catch the last 13 minutes of it. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but we'll figure it out. I'll talk with the McNeil and Parkin Show coming up next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.